Welcome to the Mosaic Weekly Podcast. Here at Mosaic, we strive to follow Jesus in authentic community for the world. To learn more about Mosaic, check out the website at mosaicportland.org.
Hey, my name is Tim. It is so good to be with you here this morning. This is a special Sunday in the life of our community, in that the Sunday that is right before Thanksgiving, the Thanksgiving holiday, we just kind of call our Thanksgiving celebration. And we give thanks every week in a bunch of different ways, first and foremost, just to God. And so then the things that we sing, what we say, what we read in Scripture, how we treat one another is one way that many ways that we give thanks to God. But on this Sunday, we do a couple things. And one is what you see up here. This is a lot of just awesome food that so many of us have more than we need, is the truth. We have more than we need, and we can fairly easily buy extra food and then give it away, or find food that we already have in our home and then choose to bring it in a bag and give it away like this. And there are some within our community here that actually need, and we're able to give to them in that way. And then beyond that, we're able to give to those that are in need in our city. And so this has become a way of celebrating Thanksgiving, is to bring food. And so there's all sorts of different food, and some of it looks really, really good, and some of it, wow, looks even better. So that's marshmallows. That is great. And then this is a version of Top Ramen, I believe, that looks classier than what about ruined my stomach in college, but that is, so there's a bunch of food up here, and these are already Curious George. Sweet. So that's not what we're not going to talk about the food, but there's a lot of good food here. So some of us have brought some, and we're going to do that at the end of our time together, just kind of bring it as an offering and just say, God, we thank you for all that you have given us and the many ways that you take care of us and provide for us. And so we're going to do that together. The other thing is we're going to have a time of a baptism. And if you don't know what a baptism is, what it is we've got a tank of water up behind there, actually. I don't know if you can see it or not, but there's like a clear line there. There's water in there, and it's warm and it's comfortable. And when somebody chooses to follow Jesus and say that they trust him with their life and want to follow him as their Lord and Savior, we baptize them. And you choose to get baptized, and it symbolizes going underneath the water, symbolizes death, and coming out symbolizes life. It's something that Jesus himself did. He was baptized, and then he has called his followers to be baptized. It's also a chance for those of us who are watching just to be able to celebrate and to cheer. And as a community, as a family, as a church, there's very few things that we enjoy more than celebrating when somebody has chosen to follow Jesus. And so we had somebody decide to get baptized in our first gathering here this morning. I think he's a dad, and a young dad. And then I just came from our gathering in North Portland at De La Salle High School. And we had a guy that in the moment decided he wanted to get baptized there and came forward. And we're in a school auditorium up there this morning. And so it was literally a tank of water. And so it was, don't tell them this, but it wasn't as warm as this one. So, but I didn't get to see it. I had to leave to get back here. But somebody just walked forward and said he wanted to get baptized. And so we've got a couple that we know are going to get baptized in a little bit here today. And then if there's anyone else that decides, we would love to celebrate that with you. The other thing that's unique about today is that we have our kids that are in this gathering with us instead of either upstairs or downstairs. And so if you're a sixth grader or younger, you're usually not in here. And we are so glad that you're in here. Can you say hi to us? Can we hear from you? Sixth grader or younger, say, hey, morning. Right on. Welcome. Some of you that are downstairs in our lower level where our kids' world is, or half of our kids' world, we get to hear you sometimes. You're down there singing and worshiping, and it sounds really good. And so we're just so glad to have you here and be able to sing with us and see some folks get baptized and just celebrate being up here with us. It's so good. I want to open up Scripture just for a short bit together today. And so I want to pray, and then we're gonna take a look at a story in the life of Jesus for a few moments. So would you pray with me first? God, we are thankful for who you are. We are thankful for all that you have done for us, for all that you have given to us. We are thankful that you are here with us right now. We're humbled that we get to meet with you. God, you are so good and so powerful, righteous and holy. You're the creator God of the universe, and to meet with you is a gift. And we want to worship you. We want to give you glory for who you are. And Holy Spirit, would you move in our time here as we're gathered? As our desire, our intention is to give thanks and to celebrate. Would you help us to do that? And Jesus, we're going to look at a short conversation, a short story from your life that we're going to read about in your word. And so would you teach us as we do that? It's in your name that we pray. Amen. So there's this really brief conversation, really short story that Jesus, interaction that Jesus has with this, with a young guy. And it actually tells us a lot about giving thanks, but it doesn't mention the word thanks or even being grateful or anything like that in it. But I think as we kind of look at it, you'll be able to see how it actually leads us to give thanks. There's a Jesus has had a pretty busy day. He's been hanging out with people and answering questions and walking around and talking. And at one point he stops and people bring him babies. And then he talks about what it means to have a heart of a child. And he's in all these conversations all day. And then towards the afternoon, a guy kind of walks through the crowd and gets up to Jesus. And he says, good teacher, how do I inherit eternal life? Good teacher, how do I inherit eternal life? And Jesus looks at him, and like Jesus often does, he kind of, as we read about Jesus in the New Testament, there's a lot of times that Jesus just makes the situation really awkward, really fast. Like he just kind of, he kind of approaches things from a different perspective. He has a different take on things than we would or that we might assume somebody might have. And so this guy walks up to Jesus and says, good teacher, sounds like a compliment, right? How can I inherit eternal life? And Jesus looks at him and he says, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. And if I was the guy, the young guy, I would be thinking, dude, I'm just trying to give you a compliment. I'm just trying to be respectful. And wait, if only God is good and I called you good, I wonder what I think of you. And as soon as this guy starts thinking down that road in his mind, Jesus pulls him back and he follows up and answers the question. And so Jesus says, he says to him, well, follow the commandments. Obey the commandments. And then Jesus lists them. Do not commit adultery. It's a good one to know. Do not murder. Helpful. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother. So he rattles off 4 or 5 out of the 10 commandments. And this guy listens. And then he responds with, all of those I've kept since I was a boy. And Jesus responds with, I'm glad you didn't murder anyone as a boy. No, he didn't say that. But He answers Jesus and says, all of those I've kept since I was a boy, which tells us something. See, this guy isn't asking. He's not coming to Jesus and saying, what can I do to inherit eternal life? Which is a great question. I think we all have asked that question in some shape or form or another, whether of Jesus or of just asked that question out into something. But we wonder that. What does it mean to have real life, true life, eternal life, maybe life that will last forever? He's asking Jesus that. Jesus says, if you obey these commands, and he says, well, I've done all of those. And what he's actually doing is he's not saying, Jesus, tell me the answer, and then I'm going to go and do it. That's not what this guy is asking. This guy is asking, I know everything that I've already done, and I want to make sure that I've done enough to get eternal life, and I want to make sure what you say will match up to what I've done. And so he's actually listening to Jesus, and Jesus rattles off these things, and he says, he goes, check, 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 I've done it all. That's so good. I can put that in my pocket and know that I'm safe. I've done it all. I've accomplished all of it. And Jesus then responds to him. He says, I've done it all since I was a boy. I followed all of the rules, all of the laws. I've accomplished all of it. I'm good to go. I'm safe. And Jesus responds to him with something that Jesus actually says to each and every one of us. And so if you haven't heard this before, hear it as if Jesus is saying it just to you. But Jesus says it to this guy. And I want to read it from Luke chapter 18, verse 22. Jesus responds with this. It says, verse 22, when Jesus heard this, he said to him, you still lack one thing. You still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. You still lack one thing. You still lack. You're still missing. You still need something. There's something that you need that you don't have. You're lacking. So if you don't have something, you need to get something, right? But Jesus actually says you lack something, so give away what you already have. That doesn't quite make a lot of sense at first glance. You're missing something. You need something. So give away what you already have. Take everything you have and give it away. Give it to the poor. And then you'll actually have more. If you give away, you'll actually have more. How does that work? If you give away, you'll have more. And then come and follow me. This would have completely blown his mind. I mean, if you want to talk about that guy would not have known what to do. He first thought, I'm safe. I'm in. I've got everything. And then he says, I'm missing one more thing. Okay, tell me what it is. I probably got it on my list here somewhere. Just tell me what it is. No, sell everything. Get rid of everything. Now, Jesus isn't saying sell everything and then come follow me. And by the way, I'm going to sprint in that direction. So you got to come chase me. Jesus isn't saying that. And this guy could have really easily sold everything right there. And it wouldn't have taken him 4 days on Craigslist to sell everything he's had. Okay, he didn't need to go through a process. He didn't need to set up like a bazaar in the town square and sell everything and then count all the money up and then find a poor person and give it to him. See, this guy was a rich young ruler. He was well-to-do. He was accomplished. He was very moral, apparently, as everything he did on his list. He fulfilled all the commandments. But he would have had men who served him right with him. And so all that he needed to do was to say, go and do it. It is so ordered. Just give a command and they would have gone and done what this rabbi, this Jesus, had just said. Sell everything and give to the poor. He wouldn't even have to turn around. He could just go, like, go. So he could have stayed looking at Jesus and said, just go and do it, right? Sold everything in an instant. And what Jesus says is that if he would have done that, he would have had treasure in heaven. He would have had a real kind of life. He would have had a completely different kind of life because he would have given away everything. See, what he was doing was he was actually holding on to his wealth. And Jesus says to him, you're holding on to all of this stuff that you have. And yet imagine this. Consider this for a moment. You still lack something. That guy is thinking, no. Do you know my bank account? Do you know what I have? Do you know the land that I own? And do you know how morally I've lived and how good I've been? Do you know who I am? You're going to look at me and tell me that I still lack one thing. What are you thinking? And it actually says that he went away. He left. That Jesus said it's so hard for him to come and follow me because of what he's holding on to. And Jesus says the exact same thing to each and every one of us. He says, you lack one thing because you're holding on to something other than me. And many of us have come face to face with that reality, that truth, and we've heard Jesus and we've said, I'm going to let go of it and I'm going to follow you, Jesus. And we've decided to follow Jesus and go through a whole completely different kind of life transformation where we've leaned on Jesus for everything and we've held on to him. But Jesus says, when you let go of what it is that you're holding on to, you actually can receive more that I have for you. I was a sophomore in high school, and I was on the track team, believe it or not, and I was in a runoff for one of the relays. There was four guys on our team were going to make it onto a relay team, and so we were doing a runoff because there was about seven or eight of us that wanted to be on it, and the fastest four were going to get on, so we're going to run 100 meters. And so we lined up and we took off and we started running. And about halfway through, I assessed that I was about in third place. But fourth place was really close. And I didn't know if he passed me, if all of a sudden I'd bounce back into fifth and I wouldn't get on the team. And so I decided to shift it into a higher gear at about 50 meters in. And it happened to be a gear that I didn't have. And so my leg stopped functioning like a leg. And it did very bad things. And sometimes what happens to a hamstring is that it tears. My hamstrings are actually far more muscular than the average 10th grader. And instead of tearing the hamstring, it actually tore off the bone. So it's not supposed to do that, and there's not an easy way to reattach it. So I have a scar that I cannot show you, but I had to go to the hospital and have a pretty significant surgery done, and then was in the hospital for a week I was in a hospital bed for a week. Now, I don't know if you've been in a hospital bed before, whether for a short time or an extended stay. There's very little, if anything, fun about it. It's a horrible experience. You have people that say that they're there to care for you, and they come in, they poke you with needles at the beginning of the day, at the end of the day, as if you have a possibility of getting anything inside of you that they don't give you. But they still have to test what's inside of you somehow. So that's what I woke up to and went to bed with every day. The TV there was horrible. Again, this was when I was in 10th grade, and there was just normal TV. There wasn't any kind of cable. I hadn't been to the internet yet, if you can believe that. Mm-hmm. But there was daytime television was horrible. And in the evenings, there was game shows, which are worse than daytime television. And then the only reason worth living in the hospital at that time was the A-Team and Knight Rider. That was my day. And it, by the end of 3 days, I was going absolutely bonkers and was sad and frustrated and bargaining with God and didn't know why I was there and wasn't sure if I was ever going to be able to play sports again and all this kind of stuff. And a nurse comes into the room and says, Tim, you have some visitors. Well, that's what she wanted to say, but she didn't get it all the way out because I had about 20 of my friends just flooded into the hospital room, just poured in. And if you've ever been in a hospital bed before and somebody that you don't expect is going to come see you, it's actually a pretty vulnerable place to be. I mean, the first thing I thought is like, what do I have? Okay, good. I'm covered. Okay. I don't know when the last time I got out of this bed was, so I don't know what my hair looks like. It's probably super greasy and nasty. I brushed my teeth last week. I know. Like all these things are going through my mind. Like, I can't believe people that I've only ever seen in a school setting are all of a sudden here, and I'm in bed, and they're not. And this is—it's just a very vulnerable setting. And I was—all these things were going through my mind at the moment, like what's going on, and what are they going to see, and what are they going to think? And a few of them pulled up chairs really close next to me and started asking me questions and talking to me. And some brought balloons in, and those that didn't bring balloons and started blowing up those gloves. Blowing up the gloves and tying them and bouncing them around the room. And a couple guys stole my crutches and were off down the hallway. I have no idea what went on in the bathroom. They brought me cards. They brought me a mixtape. No, that's a real word. That's a real word. That exists. Mixtape. If you don't know what a mixtape is, it's a device that plays music that has both Bon Jovi, Guns N' Roses, and Whitesnake all on the same tape, okay? So I got a mixtape. I mean, it was utter chaos in there for about 25 minutes. And it took me a good several minutes till I finally was able just to relax and enjoy it. And once I was able to do that, you know, that 25 minutes or so until the security nurses came and kicked everybody out, that was one of the times in my life that I'm most thankful for. I felt so loved. There was like 15 kids that I knew and 5 that I didn't know that came into my room just to be with me and just to ask me questions and give me stuff and to break stuff in the room. I mean, just to hang. They did it. They all piled into cars and drove over and thought about me ahead of time and did it. And I'm so grateful for that. So thankful. I felt loved and appreciated. But I had to get over myself. I had to let go of being uncomfortable and being concerned about what my hair looked like. And once I let go of those things, then I was able actually to receive far more than I would have if I would have still been concerned about myself. Jesus says to this young, well-to-do, accomplished guy, he says to this rich young ruler, you think you've got it all together, but you still lack one thing. And until you're able to let go of what it is that you think makes yourself so secure, safe, accomplished, good, until you let go of that, you're not going to be able to receive all that I have for you. And I have so much for you. And each and every one of us have something that we choose to hold on to. And maybe you've been following Jesus for a while and you know exactly what that is. Maybe you've never decided to follow Jesus and you're not even sure what this is all about. But each and every one of us at times are tempted to grab onto things in this life that we think is going to bring us security and safety and hope and a future. For some of us, it's pride. Some of us, it's pride. We think we are the real deal. We think we are all that. And we are worthy of people that compliment us. We are worthy of people looking up to us. And that enough gets us through our life. That enough is to keep us going. And Jesus sees right through that, and he says, no, you don't have to keep up that front any longer. You can actually let that down, and I can bring into your life this calm sense of confidence and quietness that comes from a humility that is based on what I've done for you and not what you've done for yourself. Some of us hang on to pain. Pain is the thing that actually keeps us going. Pain is the thing that protects us from anyone else getting through our defenses or getting through our shield, that we can hold up this shield and keep people out because we've got the pain in our life that fires us up and keeps us safe from ever being hurt again. No one else is going to betray us again because we're so aware of our pain and we keep others at a distance. And so we have to hang on to our pain. And through that, Jesus says, no, I want to actually heal that. You don't have to carry that. I want to heal that. And I want you to trust me enough that I'm going to be your protector. I'm going to watch out for you. Some of us hold on to fear that if we order everything in our life and know there's no surprises and nothing unexpected comes in, if we're appropriately informed and prepared for everything, that we'll be safe and life will work and we'll get through. And to that, Jesus says, no. It's not fear that gets you through. It's actually my faithfulness to you and you trusting me. And when you trust me, fear doesn't have to rule your life anymore. For others of us, it's ambition, that we're just starting out and we have huge dreams and visions and we're going to accomplish it. And just you wait and see until we get there, because we can get there and we can do it. And that pathway and that trajectory and where I'm going to get is going to make my life meaningful. And it's going to make me worthy and valuable enough. And Jesus says, no, do you realize that your own ambition is so minuscule and tiny? You're worth so much more than that. Come be a part of my mission. Come be a part of what I'm doing in the world. It's so much bigger than you. And yet others of us, we've clung to low expectations. We've lowered the bar so low that we can't fail. We've structured for our lives such a boring, uneventful, bland life that we have no fear of disappointment. And Jesus says, no, you were made for more than that. Trust me. You don't have to find security in structuring your life in such a way that you will never be disappointed. I actually want to invite you on an adventure. I have a wild ride for you that you were built for and made for. I want to make a difference in this world through you. Don't settle for less than and low expectations. Each of us is holding on to something that we think will make our life secure. And when we do that, we need to hear from Jesus. And I love it how the same story says in the book of Mark. Jesus says it with slightly different words. It says that Jesus looked at him and it says he loved him. He loved him enough to tell him what we all need to hear, that we lack one thing. We lack, it's something different for all of us that we're holding on to. But when we hold on to that, we lack the ability to receive all that Jesus has for us. Let me read to you some of the things that Jesus has for us. Because Jesus died on the cross, he wants to give us forgiveness. And it says in Colossians 2:13, when you were dead in your sins and in your uncircumcision of your sinful nature, God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the written code with its regulations that was against us, so that we can't hold up a list and make sure that we've done it all and accomplished it. All that does is prove that we're trying to do it on our own. He took it away, nailing it to the cross, having disarmed the powers and authorities. He made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them on the cross. That Jesus wants us to receive the forgiveness of sin that's offered through his death and resurrection. Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4 say this, or don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may have a new life. That he actually gives us a new life, that we get to start over. That he gives us a new identity and a new future and a new hope. And this one's great. John 1:12. Yet to those who received him, to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. He gave us the right to be in his family. He forgives sins, he gives us new life, and he invites us into a family. Those are just some of the things that he wants to give us when we say, I'm going to let go of what it is that I want to hold on to make my life work, and I'm going to make myself, my heart and my mind, my very soul open to what Jesus has for me and to for who he is. when this happens, when somebody says, yes, Jesus, I want you to take over my life. I want to follow you. When we trust him in that way, he calls us to be baptized.
15 and 11 a.m., as well as 6:15 p.m., with children's classes available at all three gatherings. To find out more about Mosaic, visit mosaicportland.org. Thank you and have a great day.